You're going to be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Be praying for me. I just about lost my voice this afternoon. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna take it easy because I was down to like a whisper earlier. So, no, don't get loud very much, but my voice is just not cooperating today. So, if I can't make it through, we'll just have to stop. But I'm just trying to take it easy. Psalm 91, we're going to read all 16 verses in the chapter, and we're going to look at the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, and if the Lord allows and everything goes as planned, I'd like to take a few messages just from this psalm right here. It's a good psalm. Of course, they all are, but it's a really good psalm. And I've got some plans for it, so if everything works okay, we'll get a few messages from this one psalm here. We're going to look at the secret place of the Most High this evening, and specifically the description of the secret place. The description of the secret place. I've got three descriptions there that we'll look at. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your grace towards us and your mercy and your love towards us, Lord. We're undeserving of all of these things, Father, but we're thankful that you give them to us. We are thankful for the beautiful day and the blessings of sunlight and warmth, Father. We're thankful for this season. Father, we pray that you'd help us as we're here tonight to get something from your word. I pray that you'd open up our minds and illuminate us to the truth and help us to see what you'd have for us, Lord, and help us to be stronger and grow in the faith. And we'll thank you and give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to read all 16 verses, and then we'll look at some things. He says in Psalm 91, verse number 1, and on my Bible, it does not have a heading there of who wrote it. I mean, it could be carried over from Psalm 90, and Moses wrote Psalm 90, so I don't know. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there's Psalm 91, and he begins off the chapter there. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I don't know, I'm sure that each and every one of you have, when you were a child or something like that, maybe used to make a fort inside of your room. You'd get a bunch. We used to have bunk beds whenever we were growing up. Me and my brother shared a bedroom, and we had bunk beds when we were growing up. And we used to string a bunch of sheets all over the room. And we'd make ourselves our own little fort inside of that room. And we'd hide inside of that fort. And we thought that we were really secure and that it was a really secret place and that there's nobody in town or nobody in the house that could find us, and we'd just hide in there. I have that very vivid memory. And that was kind of like our little secret place where nobody knew anything about us, and we could just have a good time in there, perhaps try to stay up all night. We'd make it till about 11 o'clock, and then we'd fall asleep. But I'm sure that we all have memories like that. Maybe you went out into the forest or into a wooded area, and you make you a little fort or something like that. It was kind of like your little secret place that nobody knew about. Well, David is talking here, and he's talking about a place kind of like that. It's a place that is a place of safety and security. He says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty." There's a couple of questions that we want to ask ourselves and establish in our minds before we go forward. And that is this: what is the secret place that David is talking about here? What secret place is he talking about? Well, he tells us exactly what the secret place is that he's talking about in this chapter, and it's God himself. God himself is the secret place. He says in verse number 1 that he's going to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. He's going to be under the shadow of God himself. Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress." So just like that fortress that we used to build, we would stay there and get protection. David is, or whoever the psalmist is saying that God is going to be his fortress in times of trouble. And then he says in verse number 9 that he's going to make the Most High his habitation. So it's pretty clear there that the secret place that he's talking about there is God himself. God himself is the secret place that the psalmist is talking about there. So the next thing we want to ask ourselves is, why is it called a secret place? What makes it a secret? I mean, he says it's a secret place. Well, the definition of secret means not known or seen or meant to be known or seen by others. So only the psalmist would know about this place where he used to dwell and find safety and security. Now, if you notice when we were reading there, what is on the outside of this secret place? On the outside of the secret place, there's snares, there's pestilence, there's danger, there is terror and arrows in verse number 5. The enemies and the wicked are on the outside of the secret place, and there's evil and plagues on the outside of the secret place. And so I take that to mean that God's judgment is on the outside of this secret place where the wicked dwell. This is where the wicked are. They're outside of God. And there's all kinds of trouble, trials, snares, pestilence, and the judgment of God is on the outside, but David is on the inside, and the wicked on the outside don't know about the secret place on the inside. That's why it's secret. It's not that the whole world knows about it. It's that only the psalmist knows about it. And he is going here to find his rest and security and safety in this secret place. So the wicked don't know anything about it. And furthermore, they don't want to know anything about it. They are rejectors of God and rebels against God and against his revelation. They're not looking for God. They're not seeking for God. They don't want protection from God. So those things are outside of that place, and that's why it's a secret place, because only he knows about it. It's a secret place of protection for him. We live in a world today, and there's all kinds of danger, there's all kinds of snares, there's all kinds of tribulation and persecution and pestilence and all of that kind of stuff out there. I mean, just turn on the news and you'll find out about it. There's terror, there's wickedness, there's ungodliness, there's all of these things happening reported daily, and there's bad news on every hand. There's death, destruction, evil, disease. All of those things are on the outside. But we, as Christians, as believers, we have a place of security and rest and safety where we can go that is on the inside, that is secret to us. It's only known and revealed to believers. It is God. God is our secret place that we can go to and find rest and safety and security. There's on the outside of God, there is nothing but the judgment of God. There is not mercy on the outside of God. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There's not grace on the outside of God. I mean, I understand that there is the common grace of God where we get the sunshine and we get the rain and all of that, but I'm talking about real grace, mercy, and everything is only found inside of God. One day when you stand before God and you have to give an account of yourself to Him, the only way that you're going to be able to pass that judgment is through God Himself. And so God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to give us that grace and that mercy so that we can pass that judgment and be right with Him. I'm sure that we all know this, but that's what I'm getting at here. And so the world is unaware of that grace and that mercy that is found inside of God. It's a secret place for Christians. It's a secret place for believers. They are unaware of this place. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 or 2, verses 9 to 12, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." He's talking about there when it says man, it's talking about the natural man, the unsaved man. The unsaved man does not know, has not been revealed to him about heaven, about hell. He doesn't believe those things. He's a rejecter of God. He doesn't know anything about the spiritual things that the Spirit of God has revealed to us. He goes on to say, the Apostle Paul says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." God reveals those things to us by His Spirit. We know all about those things, but the unsaved world, the unbelievers out there, they don't know those things. Okay? Paul goes on to say, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him?" Well, man knows a lot of things. I mean, he can know about what a good steak tastes like, or he can know about fornication, or he can know about a witch doctor or something like that, because that's things you can find down here on this earth, you know, earthly things. Those things are not mysterious to him. He can find out about those things, but the deep things of God, heaven, hell, justification, sanctification, all of those things are foolishness to a natural man. Now, we find comfort and we find strength and we find security in all of those great doctrines, don't we? That's why we're here. We're not all here because we're 49ers fans. We're all here because we're children of God and we have a hope and that, well, maybe you are a 49ers fan. I don't know. We're not all 49ers. 49ers aren't even good anyway. So, forget I said that. Dallas Cowboys, whatever fan you are. We're not all here because we're under that umbrella. We're all here because we're children of God. We love heaven. We love righteousness. We love God. We love all of those things. And why? Because the Spirit of God has revealed those things to us. And the world outside of us is looking in. They're saying, what a bunch of fools. What are they doing? They actually believe that God would redeem mankind, would save mankind through a man 2,000 and some odd years ago hanging on a tree. That's how He's going to redeem mankind. Well, that's foolishness. That's stupid. I could have thought of a lot better story of a way to save someone than having someone crucified. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's foolish. Has not been revealed to them. They don't know about the secret place. They don't know about the security and the peace that we have with God. They don't know about that. They have some other kind of peace that they find out in this world. They're looking for peace in booze or alcohol or some kind of other fleshly thing out there. But that kind of stuff does not last. We have a security, we have a secure place in God that God has revealed to us. And so the secret place is God. He goes on to say, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have a secret place, and it is God. We'll elaborate on that a little bit more here in just a minute, but verses 13 to 15, the same chapter says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Secret place for the Christian, for the believer, is God. The things that we believe. So the Christian faith of God, and I'm not saying that man is just, you know, can't know about God. I'm not saying that. Of course, man can know that there is a God. Man can know that God created things. He can know all of those things. But I'm talking about the deep things of God. They are blinded by the god of this world. It says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You and I have a secret place in this world outside where judgment is falling, pestilence, all of those things are outside of where we are. Let's look at three descriptions of the secret place of God. Three descriptions of the secret place of God tonight. Number one, it is a place of intimacy. It is an intimate place. Number two, it's a place of peace. And number three, it's a place to dwell. Let's look at number one. It's an intimate place. The secret place of God is a place where we find intimacy with Him that this world knows nothing about. We have an intimate relationship with God that this world does not know. We see the intimate language that the psalmist uses when he speaks about God in this psalm. Verses 1 to 2, he says that God is the Most High. Number 1, He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. Verse number 1. Verse 2, He is the Lord, capital L, capital R-O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. That's God's name that He revealed to this psalmist. Verse number 2, He is my God. You will not hear the world saying those words and speaking about God in that fashion. They think, well, He could be a force, or He could be the old man upstairs. Even religious people, even, you know, so-called religious hip people will call Jesus my homeboy or something like that. That's not intimate language. I don't think you ought to use that kind of language about God Almighty. The God who made the universe. He's not your homeboy. He's not your bro. He is God Almighty. And this is intimate language that the psalmist is using when he's talking about God Almighty. Notice the intimate metaphor that he uses when he describes the way that God protects him in times of trouble in verse number 4. He said, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. He says, I'm just like a little baby chick underneath the wing of a hen. That's intimate. Boy, you go out there and you see a hen, and he's got a baby chick underneath her wings. Man, that's an intimate little scene right there. She's trying to protect that little baby chick from any kind of danger that would come upon him. And so he is under the shadow of God, and God is covering him with His feathers. Well, God doesn't have feathers. God is not a bird. That's a metaphor that the psalmist is using, trying to teach us something that will relate to us so we can know that God cares about us and He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants to protect us, and He will protect us. Jesus Christ used this same metaphor when He's speaking of Israel and the city of Jerusalem and her children in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. He said, we sent prophets to you to prophesy to you and to preach to you, and I would have gathered thy children together underneath thy wings, but you would not. You prevented them from coming to me. Jesus Christ loved His people. He loved His people. A small baby chick under the wings of the mother hen is a very intimate place for the baby chick. And so the psalmist here has an intimate relationship with God. He knows and calls God by name. He receives protection from God, and he knows and loves and calls upon God. We see all throughout Scripture that God desires to have an intimate relationship with his people. Ever since he created man, he wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. Whenever God Almighty created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He came and he wanted to talk to them. He came and talked to them in the cool of the day in the garden, and he wanted to speak to Adam and Eve, and he wanted to know them on an intimate basis. But then sin entered in, and guess what? God still came calling, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? I want to speak to you. Did you know that God still wants to have an intimate relationship with us as well? He wants us to know him, and he wants to know us as well. But sin sometimes impedes that. God called out Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Do you know what Abraham was called? He was called the friend of God. He had an intimate relationship with God. Could you call God your friend here today? He was called the friend of God. God called out Moses to the backside of the desert to speak to him in a burning bush. He said, hey, I've got something for you to do. I want to speak to you. He wanted to have an intimate relationship with him. God called out the nation of Israel, gave them his holy law, gave them his standards, gave them his personal name. He says, I want to know you. God is a God who wants to know his people. God revealed his word and his will to that nation. And God is calling out the church as his special people. And he's given us his spirit to lead us and to guide us and to teach us and to have fellowship with us. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, so that we can have fellowship with God and he can lead us and guide us. Do you have an intimate relationship with your God? Or is it just a casual acquaintance? I'm afraid that too many Christians today only have a passing acquaintance with the God that they claim to love. They only know him only on Sundays sometimes. And the rest of the week they don't even think about God. They don't read about God. They don't talk to God. And God doesn't talk to them. That's not an intimate relationship. Do you have an intimate relationship with your God? Would you be called the friend of God? We dwell in the secret place, and as a child of God, we must pursue intimacy with God. The secret place is a place of intimacy. The next description that the psalmist gives us about the secret place is the peace that he finds there. It is a peaceful place. When we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find a peace that the world does not know and cannot know. You cannot know true peace outside of God. You can't. People try all the time. They're searching high and low, everywhere, trying to find peace with God. And it's right there under their nose. Real peace, lasting peace. Outside of the secret place, what is there? Outside of God, there's terror. There's pestilence. There's destruction. He says in verse number 3, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I know that word noisome doesn't mean noisy, but that's what it makes me think of, noisy. And he says, hey, in here where I'm at with God, underneath his wing, man, it's peaceful. I got some peace right here. And those people outside, they don't know about that kind of peace. They're only experiencing the judgment of God. They're only experiencing pain. They're not experiencing the peace that I know. By the way, noise and pestilence means calamity or iniquity or mischief or naughtiness or a perverse thing. Does that not describe the nation that we live in outside of Christianity? Does it not? Yes, it does. Again, verse 5 and 6 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. There's peace. That's what I'm talking about, peace. The psalmist describes the peace and quiet that he experiences on the inside of the secret place and the trouble and terror he views on the outside. And God tells him, he says, you're only going to see destruction with your eyes. You will not experience it firsthand. Verse number 7 says, 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Verse 8 says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Only with your eyes will you see me bring down judgment upon the wicked people. But inside the secret place, it's a place of peace and safety. He's not going to have to experience that calamity that is going to fall upon the world of the ungodly. There is peace in the secret place of the Most High. Does the peace of God rule in your heart here this evening? Do you have the peace of God? You and I will not have peace with God until we get in the secret place. I think of Jonah, and Jonah decided that he would run from God. He would try and just get away from God, get away from his calling, get away from his will, go away from God. He said, boy, if I go down to the bottom of the ship and go to Tarshish, I'll have some peace, finally, because God's been after me to go and preach at Nineveh, and I don't want to do it. I'll get some peace. I'll get some peace. Well, he didn't find peace, did he? He got out in the middle of the ocean, and God found another secret place for Jonah. And it was inside the belly of a whale. And boy, he thought, man, I thought I was going to find some peace, and I didn't find peace. I found fish guts. I didn't find peace. I found darkness. I found judgment. I found all of those things. You and I cannot get out of the will of God. You will not find peace outside of the will of God. You will not find peace outside of the will of God. Again, the reverse effect can be found in Noah. Noah wanted peace, and God said, Noah, build an ark. I'm going to send a flood. And Noah said, okay, I'll obey you, God. Your will is to bring a flood upon this earth, and you will save me and my family in this ark. Okay, I'll build that ark. And so him and his family went inside of the ark, and God shut the door, and God rained down his judgment and his wrath upon this world. And you know what they found inside of that ark? They found the peace of God. They found the peace of God. You know what those people on the outside of the ark experienced? They experienced the wrath of God and the judgment of God that came upon them. There is no peace outside of God. There is no mercy outside of God. The Philippians were experiencing troubles and trials and tribulations and persecution for their faith. Didn't know what they were going to do. And Paul gave them the key to peace, didn't he? He said, man, you're experiencing a lot of things. I understand. Paul was going through the same thing. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Go to your secret place of prayer and pray to God. Pray to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said the same thing to the church at Colossae. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. The secret place is a place of peace. It's a place of peace. Peace from the world, a peace that the world knows nothing about. Peace from the enemy that lurks on the outside wanting to rob your soul and your life. Better get to the secret place. There's peace there. There's peace there. We see the next. Next, we see that the secret place of the Most High is a place to dwell. The psalmist says, hey, I want to stay here. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I want to stay. The secret place is a place to dwell. It's not a place where you leave after a while. It's not a place where you stick around and then you're gone after 2 weeks. No, it's a place where you stay. He says in verse number 1, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, hey, I'm going to stay. You know what that word dwell means? Dwell means to sit down for a while, to remain, to settle, to marry. Whenever you get married, it's supposed to be forever. It says, till death do us part. And David, or the psalmist is using the same thing. I'm going to dwell here because I'm one with God. I'm here. I'm going to stay. I'm going to abide. Abide means to stop or usually to stay overnight by implication, to stay permanently. He says again in verse number 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. It's going to be a place where I'm going to live. That's my house. That's where I stay. I don't go anywhere else. I don't look for peace anywhere else. I don't look for safety and security outside of God. It's right here. This is where I stay. I'm not moving. I'm staying. I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here. Just as God abode in the tabernacle of the Old in the Old Testament, he permanently stayed there. He did not leave. God, he abides in God. God was his go-to place where he would stay. Do you have a place in your home or your life where you like to go to? A place where you find security and peace. Maybe it's a man cave. Don't have one of those. Maybe it's a den. Maybe it's a craft room. Maybe it's your study. Maybe it's just your house. But it's a place where you go. It's a place where you find security and safety and rest there. It's a familiar place. That's the same way that the psalmist is talking about here. He's saying, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to dwell here. This is where I want to be. This is where I'm at. David made God his dwelling place, and David knew where to find God. He knew exactly where to go. He said, I'm going to the tabernacle, I'm going to find God. And that's where I'm going to stay. He said in Psalm chapter 26 and verse number 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. I'm going to the tabernacle because that's where God is, and I'm going to dwell there. Again, most famous psalm in the whole book of Psalms, Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He didn't say, well, I'll go for a while, and then if I get bored of it, I'm not coming back. You know, I'll take a break for about 10, 15 years, and then I'm going to come back. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm making a determination right now that I will dwell in the house of the Lord because that's where God is. That's where God is. David loved the house of God, and he said he would dwell there forever. Do you desire to dwell in the house of God with God's people, where God's word is being preached, where God's songs are being sung? Do you desire to dwell there, to stay there, not to leave? I'd encourage each and every one of you to be faithful to God's house and to God's people. Now, understand that God does not dwell in this building. Yes, I understand that, but this is where God's house meets, his household meets. Don't make it a practice of just going for a while and then not going anymore. Don't do that. Dwell. Stay here. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's why we come together. That's why we come together. People have been assembling together for as long as God has called out a people. They have been coming together. And you and I should dwell there. Do you love the house of God and the household of God? And do you desire to dwell there forever? So many people just go for a little while. They stay for a little while. We've seen it over and over again, but they don't dwell there. Don't let that be said of you. Don't let it be said of you. Don't get out of church once you get out of high school. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay in church. Don't get out of high school when you get in your 20s. Get out of high school when you get in your 20s, okay? Don't stay in high school while you're in your 20s. Don't get out of church when you're in your 20s or your 30s. Hey, I'm no exception. I'm not saying that I'm Mr. Perfect. I'm giving you life, real life experience here. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Amen. Abide. Stay. Stay. Stay with God's people. All three of these descriptions of the secret place embody the relationship. Listen closely to the Christian with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the secret place of God. We know that because Paul revealed it to us in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the secret place of God. God hides his people in Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 3:3 that your life, Christian, is hid with God in Christ. We are hidden with God in Christ, and Jesus Christ is he fulfills all of these things that we've been talking about here. How do you have an intimate relationship with God right now? How do you have it? It's through Jesus Christ. You and I cannot approach God Almighty, the creator of this world, without the intermediate or the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Jesus Christ is the expression of God. Jesus Christ is God. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." We cannot go to God any other way. He is the ultimate expression of God. The only way that you and I could know God, anything about God, is because of Jesus Christ in an intimate way. Amen. Only because of Jesus Christ. He is revealed to us in the New Testament. In Jesus Christ, there is peace. There is peace. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We cannot have any peace anywhere else with God, but only through Jesus Christ. I don't care how moral you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how sincere that you are. You can't have peace with God without Jesus Christ. You cannot. Cannot. And then in Christ is where we dwell forever. The only reason that you and I could stay with God and not be cast into hell because of our sins, which is what we deserve, is because of Jesus Christ. The only way that we could have eternal security and stay saved is because of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Jesus Christ said in John chapter number 10 that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand because of who your shepherd is. That's Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Father, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are seen as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, united with him, one with him. And it's only through Jesus Christ we can have that place where we can dwell forever with God. So Jesus Christ is where we find security and safety and refuge that the world knows nothing about. Jesus Christ is our secret place. Let us flee to Jesus Christ. Let us love Jesus Christ all of our days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.